Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena, text number, what number?
Four.
Text number 4.
Purushayati Muyanti.
Tvadrisha
deva mayaya Shrama eva param jato Dirghaya vrita sevaya Purushaya nimuhyanti Tvadrisha deva mayaya Shrama eva param jato Dirghaya vritta devaya Purushaya nimuhyanti Tvadrisha deva mayaya Shrama eva param jato Dirghaya vrita sevaya Purusha
persons
Yadi
if
Muyanti
become bewildered
Tvadrishaha
like you,
Deva,
of the Supreme Lord,
Mayaya,
by the energy,
Shramaha,
exertion,
Eva,
certainly,
Param,
only,
Jataha,
produced.
Dirghaya,
for a long time.
Vrita sevaya,
by serving the superiors. If a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instructions of the previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of my material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time. Purport. In this verse, the word Vritta Sevaya is very significant. Vritta means old. Sevaya means by service. Perfect knowledge is acquired from the acharyas or liberated souls. No one can be perfect in knowledge without being trained by the parampara system. Prithu Maharaj was completely trained in that line. Therefore, he did not deserve to be considered an ordinary man. An ordinary man who has only a conception of bodily existence is always bewildered by the modes of material nature.
Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjanasalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmaye Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Nam Khayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinacharinam. So here's the key or the explanation or part of the explanation as to why Lord Brahma discouraged Bhrithu Maharaj in his performance of Ashwamedha Yajna. Right? And that is service to superiors. Or here Prabhupada says, Vrida Sevaya. Vrida means old. Or we could say older or elder. And Sevaya means service. By service. So the institution of parampara depends on obedience and service to superiors. To the previous acharyas, one of the six items of positive activities in bhakti recommended by Rupa Goswami is sato vritte, which means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. We are servants of the instructions of the previous acharyas. We're servants of the instructions of the spiritual master. Well, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna recommends that we should all surrender to him. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam. Raja, but Sharana means to surrender. Mam ekam, to me alone. Krishna recommends we should surrender to him alone and nobody else. But how many of us are receiving direct instructions from Krishna himself? Nobody, I think I can assume nobody, is receiving direct instructions from Krishna. Maybe we're fortunate to have somebody in the room who is. But even if somebody was to put their hands up, generally everybody else would be frowning. Okay. Sure. So, what's the process for surrendering directly to Krishna? Prabhupada says that the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita is not 1866, but the key or the secret to surrendering to Krishna is actually in 434, which is Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya.
Prabhupada says this is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita in a couple of places. And why is that? Because in order to understand how to surrender to Krishna, we need to learn the process. And that process is learned from the spiritual masters and the previous acharyas. That's why Satovritte is recommended by Rupa Goswami. And in recognition, and it's interesting because in that verse, it's mentioned that the self-realized souls can reveal the truth through this process, meaning that we don't just have one guru, but we have many teachers. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj begins by offering his obeisances, Vande Gurun. I offer my obeisances to the spiritual masters. And so we have many. Vatma Pradashika, Siksha, and Diksha gurus. But the prime responsibility for the spiritual master is to give instructions, to give guidance, to teach. What was the occupation that Srila Prabhupada had on his passport when he came to America? What was Srila Prabhupada's occupation on his passport? What did it say?
Teacher.
Yes, teacher. Prabhupada, he didn't say, I'm a guru. He said, I'm a teacher. And Prabhupada put great emphasis on education as one of the prime activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because that's what the parampara does, and it's what a devotee does, especially in the context of ISKCON or any religious institution. It's the dissemination of knowledge, but of course a particular type of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. The Vedas, well, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and those excerpts or those parts of the Vedic literature that deal purely with spiritual identification are considered to be the cream or the essence of all knowledge, especially of the Vedas. The Bhagavatam is considered to be the cream of the knowledge of the Vedas. There's the Jyotish, which is astrology. There's Dhanur Veda, which is warfare. Ayurveda is medicine. Right? So there are many sections of knowledge within the Vedas to cover all. Prabhupada explains how the Vedic literature is basically a manual or a handbook to describe how to use the material creation in a way so that one can be materially productive and materially prosperous, and more importantly, or they both have to go together, they have to be both balanced, the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, self-realization. But of the two, the most important is that spiritual knowledge. Nigama kapa turo phalitam. Galitam phalam, isn't it? The Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And very tasty, very juicy, and very sweet, very relishable by the devotees. So, thank you, Baba. You're a gentleman and a scholar. So, Prabhupada mentions here that this Riddha Sevaya, this service to the previous acharyas or to the elders, right? And ideally, elder implies learned, right? Which is not always the case, right? Age is not necessarily a measure of learning. Usually it is, but not always. You know, devotees often will have a bit of a tussle. You know, if you joined the Hare Krishna movement earlier than somebody else, that means you're superior. Even if it's only you joined a month before or a couple of days before, you're superior. So age is, but it's indicating here usually the senior is, and it's interesting because here Indra is the superior, right? But we see that he's behaving in a childish fashion, right? Because Maharaj Prithu, who's an incarnation of he's an incarnation of the Lord, but Indra's not able to recognize that, even though he's the superior. So we've got this is one of those dilemmas that appears in the Bhagavatam to teach us these. And so Lord Vishnu has come with Indra and it's interesting what Lord Vishnu says. My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Right, so he's performing his dharma, his religious duty, but Indra got upset because he was concerned that Maharaj Prithu would be a competition for him. Right? But he should have realized that he's actually an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and so therefore perfectly justified in doing such a thing. But Lord Vishnu says, now, that's Indra, has come with me to be forgiven by you. Right? And as we were discussing the other day, this is to illustrate and to highlight the qualifications of Maharaj Prithu, in that even though Lord Indra had interfered and disturbed his service, he was able to be detached. And not only that, had he interfered with Prithu Maharaj's service, but he'd done it in a way to introduce irreligion in the name of religiosity, because he appeared as a sannyasi on more than one occasion to steal the sacrificial horse. So he'd actually done it he had disturbed Maharaj Prithu's service in such a way that would have disturbed the whole of society, in that he'd introduced cheating religion. Anybody familiar with that? So, Maharaj Prithu is displaying the qualities of a devotee and humility being one of them, but also this principle of service to the seniors, service to the elders, which is a key or a core element of making advancement, making progress in spiritual and also tolerance. When one is a disciple, then one is engaged in service to the spiritual master and service to the devotees. And on occasion, our sincerity or our determination, our dedication will be tested in difficult circumstances. Huh? You know, we like to think, Prabhupada says, you know, that our process is chanting, dancing, and feasting. Right? And we just have a good time. And we do. But at the same time, we will be tested. You know, spiritual life. There's a, was it Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta, who said the path to Vrindavan is scattered with thorns, right? And generally when you go on parikrama, you go barefoot, right? This is the tradition. I know I've been on parikrama and I've seen, in my younger days, I didn't wear shoes. And there would be older people wearing shoes. And the local dambassis would say, "Oh, what have you got your shoes on for?" And I used to think, "Yeah, what have you got your shoes on for?" Of course, now in my later years, I've discovered the benefit of shoes. So anyway, there will be tests, there will be trials and tribulations on the path of bhakti. Krishna tests the devotees through his agent, the material energy, mama maya, my maya, durajaya. We shouldn't be surprised if there are some difficulties in the practice of devotional service, because Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that there will be, right? Jamma mritu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudashanam, as Sukadeva was mentioning the other day. Adi, there are the three miseries inflicted on us by the material energy. And the devotees are not immune to these challenges or these difficulties. In fact, they're our tests. And through the tests, one makes spiritual advancement. And we see that here with Maharaj Prithu. He's being tested. He is the upholder of dharma. And it appears that Maharaj Indra is breaking the principles of dharma. And so Maharaj Prithu has every right to step in and make amends. Yet here he's been given the opportunity to forgive Indra and he was asked, "Please don't perform this last sacrifice." But it's interesting that as a result of his being obedient to the orders of Lord Brahma, then what happens? Yes, he gets to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this is the importance of this principle of service to the, you know, service. By having that service attitude and that service mood, in that mood of humility and tolerance and determination, Satovrite, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And we see that determination in Srila Prabhupada, for example. The trials and tribulations that Srila Prabhupada had to endure just to get to America, well, just to get on the boat to go to America. What to speak of all the things that happened afterwards. We see it in Prabhupada's prayer, Markine Bhagavata Dharma. The prayer that Srila Prabhupada wrote when he was sitting in the Jaladutta. Oop, there goes the battery. We got a spare battery there? We see Prabhupada's dilemma in his prayers that he wrote on board the Jaladutta after his arrival in Boston. Is that right? After his arrival in Boston? Yeah. Before he departed in New York. And Prabhupada, in his humility, was saying, I don't know why you've brought me here. Yet we know that Prabhupada knew why. But Prabhupada didn't know how he was going to. Imagine the angst, if you like. Prabhupada's anxiety, right? Thank you. On the one hand, Prabhupada knew why he was there. He knew what he was doing. We know that. But at the same time, Prabhupada didn't know how he was going. This is the challenge of the devotee. One says, we know, or we understand that the Krishna consciousness movement will be, the chanting of Hare Krishna will be heard all over every town and village on the planet. That the Krishna consciousness movement will be successful in influencing and changing the direction of civilization as we know it. But, you know, we're scratching our heads thinking, how are we going to do this? Right? Huge, huge challenge. And yet, if we look at the history of the Hare Krishna movement over the last 50 years, we've seen that despite the challenges, the movement is expanding and it's increasing. Its influence is expanding. The society of the devotees is increasing. So it's a dilemma, it's a challenge. There are always obstacles in the path of devotional service. But if one remains faithful to these principles of dedication and service and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, then despite the obstacles, one will, in fact, the obstacles are the, if you like, the springboard for making advancement. And so we see here with Maharaj Prithu, he was faced with a challenge, and yet even though he might have been justified, or he was justified in chastising Indra, because Indra was a superior, and because he followed the order of Lord Brahma, the Lord Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. Because he followed his orders, his instructions, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And he was, by following those instructions of Brahma, he demonstrated what a superlative devotee he is. Actually, he's an incarnation of the, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. So this notion or this idea of service automatically brings with it challenges, following the order of the spiritual master, following the orders of the spiritual masters, plural. Service to the devotees is a challenge. And Prabhupada says here, no one can be perfect in knowledge without this training through the parampara system. We need to have faith in the orders of the spiritual master and of the previous acharyas. And the meaning of disciple means accepting the discipline. Disciple means one who follows the instructions, accepts the discipline of the spiritual masters and the previous acharyas. And so Prabhupada makes a point here that Prithvi Maharaj was completely trained in that line. And so therefore, not an ordinary person. And this is something that we can learn from. When we're dealing with the devotees and when we're dealing with our superiors, the devotees, we should never think of them as ordinary people. Even if it appears that they make a mistake. Or if they ask us to do something that we don't want to do. I remember I used to have these kind of struggles with our previous temple president. He and I worked together. I was like his secretary, and he always used to set what I thought, and Bhakta can back me up on this, what we used to think were unreasonable parameters within which we had to do our service. Huh? I remember, and this happened to me many times. One occasion, I had to buy a car. And so Balaram told me, he said, okay, you've got to get a Holden. And it's got to have done so many Ks. And you're not allowed to spend more than $3,000. I think it was something like this, right? And I went and did my research and I came back to him and I said, look, this is ridiculous. We're not going to find a car at that price in the market. They just don't exist. He said, no, that's it. That's what you've got to do. I said, okay, all right. So I went out and I was looking and looking and looking. And then eventually, have a guess what? And here was the thing. What I wanted was one that you could adjust the rear vision mirror from inside the car. Right? Remember in those days, it wasn't electronic, it was all done manually. So I didn't want to wind down the window and put my hand out and adjust the rear vision mirror. I wanted one that you can adjust from the inside. So that was my criteria for buying a car. But I had to fit it in with what Balaram wanted, which I couldn't find it. But then eventually, in the paper, boom, up came a Holden. It was a HQ wagon with the number of kilometres. And I think it was at $2,700. So I eagerly went around to see the vehicle. Have a guess what? It had an adjustable mirror from the inside. So I experienced this on more than one occasion. Balaram would set what we thought were impossible parameters to do something. But what I discovered was, despite my protestations and, you know, reluctance, we always came up with a... Krishna always made the arrangement. So that if I bit the bullet, and even though I thought this is ridiculous, but I went and did it, for some reason or other, Krishna made the arrangement and it all worked out. So this notion of serving and serving superiors, even in difficult circumstances, is a key element of making advancement in spiritual life. Being respectful, pranipatena, pariprashnena, inquiring. You know, I said to Baba, "You really want me to do this?" He said, "Yes." And inquiring submissively, and then sevaya, doing the service. This is a key element of bhakti. This is the process of surrender, and that will necessarily bring with it challenges. But by facing the challenges in that mood of being respectful, pranipat, and by inquiry, respectful inquiry, and then by being dedicated to following the order, even the most difficult or even the most impossible things can be done. Another prayer by Krishna Das Kaviraj, he mentions if you if we don't remember Sri Chaitanya, then even the simplest things will become impossible. But if you remember Lord Chaitanya, the impossible things are doable. And also this, the prayer that we chant, Mukam Kuruti Vachalam. By having faith in the order of the spiritual master, even a dumb man can speak. A lame man can cross mountains. So this mood of service to one's superiors. Of course, ultimately, all of the superiors represent the primacy or the supreme position of Krishna. This is the trick is, even if there are difficulties, the trick is to see that the individuals who are delivered, they're the agents of our karma, and behind them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we shouldn't use this philosophy to, you know, abuse others. And, you know, if you're mistreating others, I'm the agent of your karma. I'm a representative of Krishna. We should think of ourselves in that way. So, Maharaj Prithu is demonstrating this quality and characteristic of a very faithful servant of the previous acharyas, which we should take advantage of, following his footsteps. So, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Rasika.
Prabhu, regarding the verse regarding the verse 4.24,
yes.
How is it, you mentioned to serve the scripture master, but usually our scripture masters are traveling all over the world.
Just speak a little louder.
The scripture master is traveling all over the world and it's very rare to meet him. So how to serve or how to inquire for his service?
Well,
Good question. And that's why Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj says, Vande Gurun. That we have many spiritual masters. You know, I was initiated in 1978 by Bhavananda, and he was a great inspiration for all of us at that time. The Australian Yatra had 90 devotees when I joined, and everybody knew everybody, and New Zealand as well, and everybody knew everybody. And within a matter of 3 or 4 years, we'd gone from 90 devotees who knew everybody to over 400. When somebody joined in Auckland, or somebody joined a temple in Adelaide, or there'd be you'd hear it. Right? Oh, there's a devotee, there's a new bhakta. It's like, whoa, wow, new bhakta. So, his inspiration as a spiritual master and as a GBC was, later on as a GBC, felt by everybody. Everybody was inspired, and our preaching was dynamic, very dynamic. But we only got to see him once. He was our initiating guru, but we got to see him once, twice, maybe three times in a year. And then, you know, rarely did you get an opportunity to talk to him and get instructions. And after 3 or 4 years, I realized that the people who I owed my spiritual life to, although he was one of them as my initiating guru, I realized that the people who I really owed my spiritual advancement to and my existence as a devotee were Korma and Balaram. Balaram was a temple president, and Korma was the vice president, or he was a head pujari, right? And especially Korma, you know, if I was sleeping in, Korma would shake me out of bed and say, "What are you doing? Get out of Maya, get up." Right? And if I was doing things wrong, Korma would, you know, grab me by the collar and, "What are you doing, you idiot?" Right? So, you know, it wasn't a very awe and reverential relationship with Korma anyway. It was more push and shove to get things done. But I realized that here was a person who was, you know, shaking me out of Maya, albeit maybe a little abruptly. But and not that Bhavananda didn't care for us, and that his role wasn't important, because it was. He was an inspiration. He was my initiating guru. And he was an inspiring leader. And so his role was important, but critical to my day-to-day spiritual progress was, you know, getting out of bed in the morning and chanting rounds. And also with Balaram, he taught me especially a lot, you know, how to manage a temple and how to organize a team of people. So many practical day-to-day issues of spiritual life I learned from that close association with those two devotees. What to speak of others, right? So I realized I owe my life, my spiritual life, to these two devotees. If it weren't for them, then I wouldn't be here now. So we need to understand or appreciate the benefits of having more than, you know, that we do have more than one guru, right? And they may not come with a tag or a label. I'm your guru. We actually have to appreciate
And this is one of the advantages, or one of the necessities of making friends with the devotees and developing our relationships with the devotees, because out of all of the devotees that we associate, there will be a number of them who are prominent and significant influences in our spiritual life. And so they go with the initiating guru and our siksha gurus. And out of some of those siksha gurus, some of them will be official siksha gurus, but some of them will also be special, will have a special relationship with those devotees. And we can recognize that they've been sent by Krishna, by circumstance, to assist us in our spiritual life, right? And so, you know, we have to be a little introspective about our friendships and our relationships and who we trust and have faith in, because their concern for us and their guidance and their care, right? And those devotees can be anywhere, in one sense, right? And we see it in, you see it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how all of these relationships help to make the society of devotees, and how each of the devotees, given their role or their position, will act as assistance and supports and encouragement. And if we analyse those relationships, we'll realise, okay, this person is acting as my guru. And so when we come to that realisation, then we should be more respectful, or at least appreciate and value that relationship, with an understanding that Krishna's, you know, acting through that devotee to assist me. Huh? It may not be formalised by initiation, but it should be. But we should value and cherish that, those relationships, understanding that Krishna's made that arrangement in such a way so that we're benefiting in our spiritual life, right? Even if, you know, like with Korma, for example, I had heaps of fallouts with Korma, but you know, because we're managing it, it was the argy bargy of day to day life. I remember Korma is the consummate project manager, right? And event management, that's it. Korma's actually, if you want to know what Korma's like, then work with a Chincharupa. Because it's, and you know, when they're in the creation mode, things sometimes get a bit intense, right? I remember we'd be doing these big catering jobs, and I'd be working up in my office, and the kitchen was, and I'd see Korma pacing up and down, walking around. Then he'd look up and see me at the top of the stairs, and he'd give me a scowl, like, "What are you doing? Doing nothing up there? Well, we're all down here working." And then, you know, there'd be an explosion. This is all part of the creative process. We have to appreciate that in that mode of passion, sometimes there's friction, and appreciate it. Right? Some devotees would get upset and they want to criticise, but I learned that this is part of the creative process. And then Korma would explode, and then there'd be an exchange of words, and then half an hour later or 2 hours later, he'd come up with the office, and then he'd offer his obeisances. And of course, you know, devotees, it's okay, it's all right. And then we get back to work again. So, you know, we like to think of our relationship with our guru as being, you know, all smiles and friendly. But the nature of these exchanges and the nature of the service that we're doing and the intensity of what we do, sometimes it's not always all, you know, love and smiles.
But we're not, you know, we're not impersonalists. We're personalists, and we accept the nature of the person. Sometimes there's conflict, no? Even in Krishna's dealings with the devotees, there's conflicts, no? Yet we can still learn from that. That doesn't mean that it's not conducive to our spiritual advancement. Do you know what I mean? So that's why we need to value the association of the devotees and value the relationships, all of the relationships that we have. Because it's only within that association that we're going to make progress. Huh? So yes, we may not get the opportunity to get intimate personal instructions from our initiating spiritual masters. Right? But there are others who will give us that opportunity. If we can find those relationships or uncover those relationships, find those people who we trust, right, and that we have, and whom within whom we have faith in, then we can get that same kind of instructional shelter, if you like, from others. And that's not against our principles against the principles of parampara and serving superiors. Huh? It's not just one relationship, but our relationships are going to be many. That's my experience.
Thank you. Yeah. You mentioned in the lecture about three types of spiritual master, would be right?
Vatma Pradarshika Guru is the one who shows the way. Shows the way. Vatma means the path. Pradarshika means to show. So each one of us will have somebody who taught us, you know, the basics. For me, in Adelaide, it was Sikhi Pucha. He taught me how to chant my rounds. You know, how to chant, how to offer my food. How to set up an altar. Sikhi used to come to our house on the weekends. We were going to the temple. And then to keep us out of Maya, he would come over to our place on Saturday and Sunday. And I used to go to the market and buy lots of cashews, and we used to buy cashews and stuff from Charlesworth's at the Adelaide Central Market. And I noticed that he used to like to eat my cashews. but he taught us. He taught me the basics. So there'll be one person, or maybe more than one, but usually just one person who shows you the way. Then there's the Siksha Guru. The Siksha Gurus will be many who instruct us. And then the Diksha Guru, you can only have one Diksha Guru. And Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that usually the person that instructs you, the prime instructor, becomes the Diksha Guru. Usually. In ISKCON we do it slightly differently. The devotees who... And that's because we respect the role of the Diksha Guru as a role that should be taken, as is mentioned here, by the senior or the topmost devotees. Right? And so we give deference to those senior people who initiate. The problem with that is what happens is then the disciples think that that person now is the only person they need to take instructions from. Right? This is what happens often. The Siksha Guru recommends to the Diksha Guru, here, this person's qualified. We recommend them. We've trained them. We recommend them for initiation. They take initiation, then they ignore the Siksha Guru. Right? But anyway, that's a minor problem that's easily overcome. In that the Diksha Guru should remind the disciples of the fact that they were brought to them by their Siksha Gurus, and we should still maintain that level of the same level of respect that we have for the Diksha Guru and that we have for the Siksha Guru before they recommended us. We should honour that as well. Because we're going to be taking instructions from many people. In order for ISKCON to flourish, we have to have management and organisation. That means we give the role of Siksha to senior people who manage the society. We have to work cooperatively under that management. If we all say, oh no, I'm only now going to take instructions from my Diksha Guru, where are we going? Nowhere, round in circles. The Diksha Guru can't possibly manage the whole of the society, and that's why we need a Siksha system of organisation. Otherwise, what happens? It's a mess. No? That's why Prabhupada's... And it's very interesting. Prabhupada himself gave that responsibility of instruction to the local devotees, to those leaders himself. No? There was a time when Prabhupada said to the devotees, stop writing me letters. Right? I don't want to receive any more personal letters. If you need to ask questions, take it to your local leaders. They're now trained enough for them to be in a position to give you advice, to give you instructions. You don't need to ask me. And Prabhupada said, I'm the Diksha Guru. This is to the GBC. I'm the Diksha Guru, but you are the Siksha Gurus. So even though Prabhupada was the Diksha Guru of everybody, he understood, I can't instruct everyone. Right? Okay, I'm the Diksha Guru. Prabhupada was connected with everybody. Even now, we're all connected with Prabhupada. By following his instructions, we're connected to him. But Prabhupada never wasn't unrealistic in thinking, yes, I could manage the whole society. He knew he couldn't. Prabhupada would go to his friends, one of his old friends in Calcutta, and he would say, this society is getting too big. I can't manage it. How am I going to do this? Right? So Prabhupada knew what he was doing, and he gave that responsibility of instruction to the GBC and to the local leadership. Right? And that's why, you know, this mood of service and cooperation, especially in a community like ours. Now, you know, when I became the temple president, I knew everybody in the temple. Right? But now, I know most of the devotees, but I can't remember all their names. Right? I got in trouble the other day because I saw Gunamani's son. What's Gunamani's son's name? Balabhadra? I called him Baladeva. That was a mistake. Bala this, Bala that, Bala the other. So many Priyas, right? So, you know, we've expanded as a community. And even I go up to my friends and I say, Prabhu, what's the name of that devotee? Right? And they say, oh, I don't know. So they're younger than me and I think, okay, they've got a better memory. They'll know who this devotee is. And then they don't know. So I think, oh, it's okay. I'm not the only one. Right, so you know, we've expanded as a community, but we still need some form of organisation to be successful. We need some delegation of authority to individuals among us who are happy and enthusiastic enough to take on the responsibility of organising and managing things. And we all have to then submit to their instructions. Right? Otherwise, how are we going to work? So this notion of, you know, only taking instructions from our guru, which means the Diksha Guru, is not going to work. So many Siksha Gurus, one Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is an important role and should be respected, but we shouldn't overemphasize the Diksha Guru and then ignore everybody else. Make sense? Yeah. Easy. Prove it.
With this problem of names, many churches I've seen, they have a name tag, for example. Maybe it's time that we should start executing that process.
That's a thought. Yep. Yep.
They do that with big offices also.
Yeah. You have a lanyard with your name, with a card on it.
It's about time we should start that.
Yeah, that's a thought. Anything else? Okay. Kantarashiman Bhagavatam Kijaj. Srila Prabhupada Kijaj. Gaura Bhaktivinoda Kijaj.